Good afternoon. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see so many faces. Please keep your Bibles open with me at Mark chapter 1 whilst we look at it together. And so far in Mark, we have seen how Jesus' authority in his speech and his words have a powerful effect to leave people astonished and to draw people in to follow him. You see, there is no one like Jesus in who he is who has such power and authority. But there's more to Jesus' power than what is just revealed in his words. We've just read that Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law in Mark chapter 1. But what is Mark trying to tell us about him in this? You see, I reckon it's more than just the fact that Jesus can heal. Because if Jesus came to heal, then does that mean that we never have to worry about sickness ever again? If Jesus just came to heal, then does that mean if I ever get sick, then I can pray and my sickness will be gone? You see, there are times when we don't worry about these kinds of questions. In fact, when life is good, it can be hard for us to even consider the possibility that we might ever be sick or get ill. But as when illness hits us, usually the first thought that we have is, I cannot wait to be better again. I think back to the last time that I was a patient in a hospital. It was back in 2013, and I went in for a routine surgery on my back, which ended up being worse than expected. Now, the surgeons kept me in under general anesthetic for a prolonged time, and this was until everything was clear, and it left me in a poor state. I was kept in for observation, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in hospital and you've had to stay for the night where you get poked and prodded and all sorts. It's not a fun experience, is it? I wanted out. And I was only in there for the grand total of one night. It was a really hard time for me. But I remember meeting gentlemen who were in that hospital for weeks, months, and they wanted to go home, but they weren't fit enough to go home. And they felt trapped because of where they were. It gave them anxiety. Will this ever end? I don't want to be here. I don't want to be like this. Will this ever stop? And when serious sickness hits us, we can feel trapped, and so can our loved ones. And it makes us think if we will ever be better again. Is there hope that we can cling on to? But you see, in Mark chapter 1, Jesus invites us to see something bigger than just the fact that he can heal. In Mark 1, verses 14 to 15, Jesus began proclaiming the message that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. It's coming. And in verses 29 to 39, Mark wants us to see what that glimpse of the kingdom looks like. It is a kingdom of restoration. It is a kingdom without sickness and suffering. And it is a kingdom filled with compassion that reaches far and wide. And as we think about this glimpse of the kingdom, there's three aspects of this glimpse that we're going to be thinking about. Firstly, we're going to see the glimpse of the kingdom without suffering. We're going to see the glimpse of the kingdom's compassionate king. And we're going to see a glimpse of the kingdom's priority. So firstly, let's think about this glimpse of the kingdom without suffering. And look at verses 29 to 34 with me here. It says in verse 29, "And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them." We're just going to pause here. Now, we're still in the 24-hour period of Jesus with his disciples here in Capernaum on the Sabbath. Now, they've just head home after a very busy day of Jesus teaching in the synagogue and casting out demons, as anyone would do, as he launches an assault on the kingdom of Satan. But when they get to Simon's home here, they tell Jesus about his mother-in-law. Now, I don't think they expected Jesus to do anything here. It's merely just a matter of fact. Don't worry about her, she's not well. She hasn't been well for a while. It's fine. Well, it's not fine. And yet, in a matter of moments, Jesus restores her to full health as the fever lifts. And before you know it, verse 31, She's serving her family and guests. It's a full recovery that immediately happens. But it's not just Simon's mother-in-law, is it? Let's keep reading from verse 32. Verse 32, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Now, last week, Bill spoke about a man who had a demon cast out of him by Jesus through a word in Mark 21 to 28. And the reason for that is that Jesus is telling Satan that it's game over for him. Satan has lost the war between good and evil. And Jesus continues expelling evil forces here in verses 32 to 34. But there's more than that. The whole town heard what Jesus did. And it tells us in verse 28 that his fame spread. And off the back of the news, catching fire and spreading right across Capernaum, everyone came to Jesus seeking help. And he heals them all. So what is Mark trying to tell us here? You see, Mark is showing us what another glimpse of the kingdom looks like. Last week we saw the angle of how the kingdom of God has no place for Satan and his evil forces. This time, we are seeing a glimpse of how the kingdom of God has no place for sickness or suffering. Now, I love going to the cinema with my wife, Lauren. And when we were dating, we used to organise cinema trips with friends where we would all go and watch these big blockbuster movies together as a group. Now, before the movie starts, you always have trailers. Now, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I love watching movie trailers. Especially if you've heard of a movie, but you're not quite sure if it's going to be good or not. Maybe you know this experience when you're on Netflix or you're flicking through Amazon Prime or Disney Plus and you're trying to find out what I want to watch. I have no idea. You see something, you go, that might be good, but I want to find out a bit more. Maybe you're not a movie person. Maybe you'd rather read books. You go into Waterstones and you're looking at the bestsellers and the new arrivals. And you're kind of thinking, I don't know how I'm going to pick what I want to read. Well, how do you find out? You find out by going on YouTube and watching a movie trailer, where you pick up a book and read the back of it to find out the plot. You see, previews help us to see whether we actually like something or not. And this preview that Jesus is giving us should whet our appetites and leave us longing for more of what the kingdom of God brings. It's a glimpse that he's given us. It is a world without evil and a world without sickness and suffering. Doesn't that sound great? This is a glimpse of the good news of the gospel. This is a glimpse of the kingdom and that Jesus is teaching us about. And this gospel is about Jesus, the one who is bringing an end to sickness and suffering, and one who is God's king in the kingdom that is near. But there's more to just a kingdom that has no sickness or suffering. You see, this kingdom has a compassionate king. And we see that as we get a glimpse of him in our second point, as we look again at verses 29 to 34, as we see a glimpse of the kingdom's compassionate king. Now look back at verses 30 to 31 with me here, and think about what Jesus is carefully doing here. Notice how in verses 21 to 28, he confronts the demon and casts it out with a word. Jesus speaks in verse 25, he rebukes him and says, "Be silent and come out of him." Now, surely if Jesus is going to heal, he is going to heal with a word as well. But look at how he does it here in verses 30 to 31. Now remember, Jesus isn't asked to heal, but he does it anyway. Not only does he do it, but look at how he does it. Verse 31. Jesus came, took her by the hand, and lifted her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. Did you see that? Jesus takes her by the hand, lifts her up. And I think what Mark wants us to see something here of Jesus' character. Yes, Jesus has authority. Yes, he has power to heal, which is amazing. But he also has gentleness and compassion for those he comes to help. And we see that here also in verses 32 to 34. Nobody is excluded. This is compassion. Nobody is excluded. Something that Jesus shows time and time again in the Gospels is his compassion. Why? Because he is a compassionate king. He is full of care, and his heart goes out to those who need him. Jesus cares more deeply about the pain of this world because it's a world that was made to know him, and yet it's ruined because of sin, sickness, and suffering. That evil rebellion, sin, drives a wedge between us and God as we reject him as our Lord and our King. And that compassion that we see of Jesus here is an inward affection that we begin to get a glimpse of and an insight into what God's kingdom will be like. With the compassion that is found in it through Jesus, the kingdom's King. Jesus is all compassionate. But like I said, this is just a glimpse. This is a window, a preview. And as Jesus says in verse 15, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. But it's not here yet. However, one day, we will see the fulfillment of the kingdom when it arrives. And even though this is just a small glimpse, we get a bigger glimpse later at Revelation at the end of your Bibles. A picture when God's kingdom does come. And when it does, this is what it says. And you can turn with me here in your Bibles to page 1041. Page 1041, Revelation 21, beginning at verse 3. Verse 3, it says, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. You see, there's two things that we see in this picture that's painted here in Revelation. We see a kingdom without suffering or sickness or pain, and we see a kingdom where God dwells and compassionately cares for his people. And God's representative king gives us that picture now in Mark chapter 1. You see, this compassion of Jesus here is something that can be easily glanced over. And yet Mark makes it clear here to us in this passage. Jesus cares for those who he came to save. So much so that he gave his life to rescue them. And if anyone who comes to Jesus for help, they will not be turned away. Now at this point, I need to answer a question that you might either have or that you've maybe heard before and you're not sure how to respond. If Jesus can do this here in Mark, then why doesn't it happen all the time today? Why do we know of people who have asked for healing and not received it? Now, it's a very good question. And it's a question that sits close to my heart as well, because I've known loved ones who have not survived serious illnesses or suffering, and loved ones who have prematurely died. You see, why doesn't healing always happen now? Is it because Jesus doesn't care? Is it because Jesus is unwilling to? Well, I think the point of this passage is not to come to Jesus and expect healing, but to know that one day there will be no more suffering and sickness, as we read in Revelation, in the exact same way that there will be no more Satan, no more evil, no more sin. Suffering now is hard. Sickness is hard as well. But it helps us to recognize that all is not right with this world. C.S. Lewis once said that pain is God's megaphone used to rouse a deaf world. Pain is God's megaphone used to rouse a deaf world. You see, it wakes us up from getting too comfortable with this life, particularly when life is peaceful and somewhat uneventful like it is here in London compared to the rest of the world. But one day we can look ahead to a day when sickness will be no more. And the glimpse of the kingdom that we see here in Mark chapter 1 will be removed. But make no mistake, Jesus doesn't withhold his compassion from you not until then. Jesus cares for you now. And if your trust is in him, he will bring you into that kingdom where your hope is fulfilled in him. And so we've seen a glimpse into this kingdom and the compassion of the kingdom's king. But the question that now leads from this is, what is the kingdom's priority? You see, if Jesus didn't come just to heal, if Jesus just didn't come to cast out demons, then what is the kingdom's priority? Well, the kingdom's priority is marked by the king's priority. And in verses 35 to 39, we see what seems unusual to anyone at first, including the disciples as a priority. But for Jesus, it was of utmost importance as we get a glimpse into the kingdom's priority. And look at verses 39 or 35 to 39 with me here. It says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Now, let's pause here for a second, because Jesus' first thought that morning was to pray and spend time with God, his Heavenly Father. Now, Jesus puts relational needs first before any transactional business needs here. But there's more to that. Let's keep reading here, verse 36. "And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." Now, if Jesus was going to keep his ministry in the vicinity of Capernaum, what impact would it have? And if Jesus' ministry was centered around the healing of the sick, then how good would that be? Short term, yes, great, happy days. But long term, not great. Now, sickness sucks. But worse than sickness is death. And nobody can evade that. Yes, we can be sick, and we can get better again. But the problem of an evil world that we face today is that none of us will escape death. Because all of us are sinful. All of us are filled with evil, wickedness, where we have rejected God. And the problem of an evil world is that the payment for it, the solution for it, is death. But that's not a satisfying solution, is it? Because death is the only thing at this point that can stop the spread of evil. Now, that doesn't seem good, like good news. But the hope that we have in the gospel is that there is good news. And the good news is that Jesus has arrived to bring the light of the kingdom of God and to proclaim that it's arriving soon. Satan cannot stop it. Evil cannot stop it. Sin cannot stop it. And sickness and suffering cannot stop it either. Those things will be removed by the kingdom. And so Jesus' priority is simple: to preach and proclaim the kingdom message as far and as wide as possible, with the offering of what it looks like to those who need to see it. And the reason for Jesus' urgency to spread this message wide is because time is short. Now, I've been watching The Bear recently. I don't know if any of you have seen it. For those of you who don't know what The Bear is, it's a drama about a Michelin star chef who's been asked to take over his departed brother's restaurant. It's probably more stressful than watching the news, if I'm being honest. But there's a phrase that keeps coming up in the show, and it's this: every second counts. And Jesus makes his mission clear in verse 38. Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. Why does he say that? Because every second counts. People are suffering in this world. People are dying in this world. And yet the call that Jesus gives here is that the gospel is to go as far and as wide as possible. This good news that there is hope for those who are living in a weary and broken city. The gospel is to be preached and proclaimed as far and as wide as possible, with the offering of what it looks like for those who need to see it. And how do we know his message is spreading? Because wherever he goes, he repeats the actions of verses 21 to 28 here in verse 39. He preaches in synagogues and he casts out demons. Jesus has taken out Satan's kingdom of darkness and replacing it with the light of God's kingdom. Good wins over evil, and God's king will triumph, because nothing can stop the spread of the kingdom. So what does this all mean for us today? Well, there's a couple of things here. And the first thing is this: we are to hope for the kingdom that is to come, and all it means. You see, we don't have to search far and wide for heaven on earth, because the reality is that we will never find it. There are lots of good things that we can enjoy whilst we are here. Good relationships, good art, good food. But there will always be something that spoils those things. Pain and suffering is real, and we will never be rid of it now in this time. But in the future, there is a certain hope that the stains which are in every good gift will be gone. And if you're following Jesus, then you will know that the pleasure of these good things exists in his kingdom. But more than that, you will know the caring, compassionate nature of Jesus himself, the King who cares for you in God's kingdom. Now, it's inevitable that there'll be times where you feel pain and sadness, and where sickness can rob you of happiness. But the certain hope is that in God's kingdom, which is right around the corner, gives you freedom from the sickness and suffering, and replaces that with a joy that comes instead, a joy that is worth looking forward to. Now, that joy is not for now, but that joy is in what is to come. And if you're not sure that Jesus is worth following because you're not receiving that gift now, then does it not sound attractive and appealing to you? You see, for many of us, if not all of us, it does. Because we don't want to live in this world where we see suffering and the problem of pain around us all the time. But this reality that Jesus has given us a glimpse into is more than just a fanciful dream. For Jesus has shown us that this is a glimpse of what is to come. It is going to happen. But for those who reject Jesus, they will not get to enjoy this future hope. So please consider why it's worth following Jesus. It's more than just getting the good blessing that he promises. It's getting to know Jesus himself. Someone who cares for you. Someone who is compassionate towards you. Someone who ultimately gave his life for you to bring you into his kingdom, where the evils of Satan, suffering, and sin will not exist. And secondly, Jesus' priority is to proclaim the gospel. So listen to him. You see, the gospel is so important. So much so that Jesus went out of his way to tell others what he has come to do. The gospel isn't about people recovering from sickness or regaining full health. It's about finding freedom from sin through the one who gave his life to redeem it for us. So the question I have for you is this: will you listen to him? Will you look at Mark's gospel when Jesus tells you to follow him? Will you follow him? When Jesus shows you that he has power and authority over Satan and suffering, will you be wowed by him? And when Jesus calls you to repent, to turn away from your old life of sin and rejection of God and believe, will you believe? You see, this is why Jesus came. So that you may hear the gospel and know him to be the compassionate king of God's kingdom. The one who has authority over sickness and suffering. And will one day put an end to it all when he returns and God's kingdom is ready to begin. You see, Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom that reaches far and wide. And it's a kingdom filled with compassion, mercy, and freedom from sickness and suffering. The question is, do you want to be part of this kingdom? I'm just going to leave it there. Why not chat about this around your tables and the hope that we have in the kingdom of God and how we can know the compassionate hope that Jesus is longing to tell us.